Lord, we just thank you for today. We thank you for this time that we're able to come together. Lord, we just thank you for the body of Christ. We're one. We're unified through your Spirit, Lord. Lord, I just pray if there be anyone here this morning that need a touch from you, Lord God. Today is today. Today is the day. In Jesus' name, amen. So the title of my message this morning is Holy Spirit Healing Power. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 3. So as you can see, I don't have any slides behind me. I think I'm old school. I know I'm old school because I'm old. I carry my Bible, the hard copy here. It's okay if you have electronic copy, but I prefer the hard copy. Electronic copy is good too, but I like the hard copy. So you won't see any slides behind me to follow. So what does that mean? That and you need to bring a Bible. It's okay. Praise God. So Acts chapter 3, it says, healing the lame beggar. It says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. And a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon and said, look at us. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. The Nazarene, walk. And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were straightened. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they were taking note of him, of being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you gaze at us as if by our own power of piety we've made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, be glorified, his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. But put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact to which we are witness. And on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man, whom you see and know, and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in presence of you all. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it's a two-edged sword, sharper than a two-edged sword. And I pray, Jesus, that our hearts would be cut this morning, Lord, to receive what you have to speak to us, Lord. To speak to our hearts this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name. Just want to take a quick moment to pray for the Salvation Army. The Salvation Army is a great work in the community. God will take something that's tragic and turn it into something great. We actually get to meet with different people throughout the week. Some of the staff, we get to pray together and stuff. God has done a marvelous thing here. And we're so blessed that they're able to come and use our facilities and to reach a community for Christ. So if you don't quite understand, they're the ones that are reaching out to the distraught, the ones that has been distracted. They've lost everything. Not that the Salvation lost everything, but they are distracted. They are out of their building. So they have a sense of feeling of what it is to be to the people that they're reaching out to. So continue to pray for them and continue to lift them up in prayer daily, because it's a great work that they're doing in the community here. And we're so blessed that we can be a part of their ongoing effort here on the Sunshine Coast. So, Lord, we just thank you for the Salvation Army and all the workers, Lord Jesus. Lord, they tirelessly give of themselves to help others, Lord, that are in need. So, Lord, just bless that work, Lord Jesus, on the Sunshine Coast here, Lord. May people come to know you through this work, Lord, that the Salvation Army, as they're reaching out to the lost, Lord, to the dying, to the sick, Lord, all the people groups, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much, Lord, that we're able to partner with them, even if it is in prayer and a little bit of volunteer, but allowing the building to be used to help them, Lord, to make their job here more effective in the community. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'm preaching before I'm preaching. I'm excited. God's good. God's really good. I don't know what kind of week you've had. I've had a really good week. No complaints, you know. And to prep this sermon, you know, it's just icing on the cake. And to share it with you guys, it's good. So the title of my message is Holy Spirit Healing Power. The Holy Spirit produces power, empowers us to work for God, empowers us to worship God, empowers us to witness for God. Peter and John had God's power in their lives. The power of the Holy Spirit is of little value unless we use it. The crippled man is a picture of the crippled world in need of help from God. God's given us the Holy Spirit. We need to use it. We just don't hang on to it and sit and wallow. There's people around us daily, whether it's friends, family, it doesn't matter. There's people out there that need our prayers. If you feel that in your heart, there's times that you need to pray for someone, doesn't matter where you're at, pray for that individual, because you are the answer to someone else's prayer through Jesus Christ. The prayer for power. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. So there's a reason for prayer. And in Luke 18:1, it says, "And it came about while he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" Teach us to pray. Prayer is very important. Very important. Christ commands us we must take and make time to pray. Without taking time to pray, we're basically trying to do things in our own strength. It doesn't work. We're powerless. There's only so much we can do physically and what God has given us as far as our own gifts. But the Holy Spirit goes beyond that. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For our struggles is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." There's nothing you can do in your own strength to combat that. That's the Holy Spirit's job, and he does it very well. So you got to trust in the Holy Spirit when you're up against things like that. Luke 24:49, "And behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you, but you are to stay in the city until you're clothed with power from on high." It's the Holy Spirit. They're waiting for the Holy Spirit to fall upon them. The Holy Spirit leads us and empowers us to do the work that God's called us to do. If we look back in our own lives and took an account of where we were and where we are now, it's a pretty incredible journey. And I know in myself, it's not me, it's Christ in me to allow me to stand up here. Who am I? Who am I to stand here and preach God's word? Praying in secret. Chris touched on it, secret place. Matthew 6:6, but when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Go into your secret room and pray. When my kids were growing up, there was times that they would come unglued and they would do things and say things. And I said, you know what? We're in the privacy of our own home here. If you guys want to let loose, come unglued, you're having a rotten day. I said, go for it, because it's our place. It's our house. Same thing in the secret room when you're praying. Let God see everything. Pray. Let him see your heart. Don't hold back. There's no limit to power of daily and fervent prayer. C.S. Lewis said, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because I am helpless. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time. Walking and sleeping, it doesn't change God. It changes me. It will change you. I am changed. It's incredible what God can do when you pray. A person is in need of power. Acts 3, verse 2, it says, and a certain man who had been lame or crippled from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to set down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms and those who are entering the temple. We live in a fallen and sinful world. Because of the sickness and the disease of veils, that man was sick. The world is crippled by the power of sin. We live in a fallen and sinful world. Sin cripples. Judges 16:20-21. Delilah said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson. And he woke from his sleep and said, I will go out as the other time and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged his eyes out. And they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in prison. Sin left its mark upon Samson until the day he died. Sin cripples. Sin controls. Jesus 8:34, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. We're all sinners, saved by grace. You make a mistake, God's grace is bigger than your mistake. Don't you forget that. Because there'll be times in your life you're thinking, oh no, this is it. It's done. I'm finished. That's not true. Satan, he travels to and fro on the earth. Genesis 3:1, now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. Man becomes a servant and a slave to sin and to Satan. If you're not serving God, then who are you serving? That's an easy one. I was told that many years ago. I did not click in till years after. I'm thinking, yeah, if I'm not serving God, then who am I serving? Sin confuses, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. He's blinding unbelievers. Look around us. Family, unbelieving. Friends, unbelieving. Yet they know our story. They've seen miracles in your life, but yet they choose not to believe. Sin can blind both the Christian and the sinner to the truth. We see it all around us today. I'm going to look into my heart this morning and see if there's any sin in my life. Because it's no good for me to stand up here and preach God's word if I don't apply it to my own life. That's being a hypocrite. If you have sin in your life, you need to deal with it. Jesus is the answer. You've come to the right place. I really believe, I know for a fact, God predestined this group here this morning. God knew that you were going to show up to church this morning. God knew that this message was going to be preached this morning. He knows all. It's tough sometimes as a believer, you know, because we can become complacent in our faith. Things are good. Things are great. Things are really bad. What's going on? Things are good. Things are great. Things are really bad. And we begin to question God in our life. Power is given to us. Verse 3 to 7, and then he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple. He began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and sat, "Look at us." And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess gold, silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles were strengthened. It was his time that day to be healed. God's timing is perfect. God will heal you in his time. So why not pray for healing? I prayed before. I prayed years ago. I've been praying for years. Ultimately, we'll all be healed when we're in heaven with Christ Jesus. But God does heal on earth. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Because I myself was healed. There's many people in this congregation that was healed by Christ. It had to be. Because there's no way medicine or anything else could. It had to be Christ. That's the exciting part. Because the onus is off everything else but on Christ. What has Christ done in your life lately? Getting excited now. And I'm not even moving. Look upon us. Peter and John says, look upon us. Look to Jesus. Right? People have looked down on this man for years. And all of a sudden, someone says, look at us. His expectation is he was going to get something, silver and gold. But this time, he got something better than that. Today was the day. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that this man's time had come to be healed. Peter had something more valuable than precious metals. He had the power of the Holy Spirit to give this man hope. The hope was to change his physical form from a cripple to someone who could walk upright. What's in your life today that's crippling you from not walking upright? What do you have? What do we have to offer our friends, our family? Community of Gibson, Sunshine Coast, beyond. What do we have to offer when it comes to healing? If you have a testimony, share it with your friends and family, even if they don't want to hear it. because it's in that testimony that God's work can work through you to reach them. That's why I'm here, because I've listened to some stories throughout the years that really made me think, it's like, no, this is real. This is the real deal. This is not some farce. This is not some fad. This is the real deal. That was 30 years ago. I've been a Christian for 30 years. That's half of my life, a little more than half of my life. And some of you heard my testimony. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. And I give the glory to Him and Him alone. Because it's not in my strength I can do anything. So it's the Holy Spirit that sustains us. There was power. They said, rise up and walk. Who's speaking there? Rise up and walk. It's the Holy Spirit through Peter. Rise up and walk. There's times in your life the Holy Spirit was saying, rise up and walk. Did we hear it? No. Why? They met this man's need through the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the same power. We need to be prayed up. That's why prayer is so important. Praying is so important. Praying is so important for this church here. It's the foundation of anything in Christ Jesus. Even Jesus himself, he prayed and prayed and prayed. If Jesus prayed, how much more do we need to pray? Nonstop, if we can. Praising power. Acts 3, verse 8 and 9. And with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk. And he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Has people ever saw you praising God? Yes. It's a good thing. My day is great, even though things are not the greatest, but my day is great. This Christ is in my life. We accept healing by faith. We accept healing by faith. Should not be very happy or not take God's healing for granted. Because I heard a story where a man come to me, says, Glenn, he had MS. He said, no, cerebral palsy, sorry. And I used to drive him around when I first got saved because he couldn't drive. He said, the reason why I'm like this, he said, my heart, I love the Lord, but I would turn my back on Jesus if he healed me. I said, Ralph, is that real? He said, yeah. He said, that's why I'm still have cerebral palsy. I said, I don't believe that. I said, I believe God can heal you. I said, that's how you think. That's not how God thinks. 2 Corinthians 4, 6, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, there's things around us we just don't understand. If they're in the Word of God and we stand on it, we stand by faith that God is going to make it happen. So healing, absolutely, in God's time. What's His will for your life? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. The very least we can do is give thanks. People were amazed at the power. Verse 10, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled and wondered. With wonder and amazement, and what had happened to him. When I shared my testimony, for whatever reason, I was looking at the clock and I didn't finish my story. So they diagnosed me with cancer, colitis, Crohn's. They were hours away from cutting out my large intestine. And so I went in and got it scoped, and the doctor just couldn't believe what he saw. And I seen it too. So before that, it was they were going to operate on me, and I would have to wear a bag and all that stuff. But when I went in prior to having surgery, they went and did some more tests. My colon was absolutely brand new. There was no polyps. There was no scar tissue. There was nothing. And the words that came out of the surgeon's mouth, he said, in 33 years, I've never seen anything like this. I'm amazed. Right? So the power of God showed up. The Holy Spirit showed up. And praise God for that, because that man's medical knowledge was tested, because he said, whatever went up inside of you, it worked. Because I told him I had lots of people across Canada praying for me. God showed up. It was my time to get healed that day. I had peace with God. God, if this is the way I'm going to spend the rest of my life, then so be it. If I die, because the doctor said there was so much poison in my body, I could have died. I was at peace with that. They were surprised at the miracle, as the physician was surprised. And when he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. Amazement. Get excited, because we see things around us and we should be amazed. When someone is healed by the power of Jesus Christ, you better believe, you better be amazed. Verse 12 to 16, it says, but when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, men of Israel, why are you amazed at this? Why do you gaze at us? As if our own power or piety, we had made him walk. God will meet you today. You're here for a reason. God will meet you in your place of need today. One of the things you have to remember is, do not be ashamed of the gospel. When you're out and about, do not be ashamed of the gospel. Because if it wasn't for the gospel, if it wasn't for Lord Jesus Christ, we would not be sitting together as the body of Christ today. We'd be doing our own thing. So why wonder? This was God's power at work. Let's remember once again the miracles of Jesus in our own lives. Sit down someday and take a test to what God has done in your life. They looked at this as wrong. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, that the one who delivered his disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him, but you disowned the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, but put to death the Prince of Life, the one whom God raised from the dead, a fact in which we are witnesses. The people rejected both the miracle and Christ. There's some people today, they will see a miracle in your life has changed, they will still reject you. Family members, for me, comes to mind. But the thing is, if they don't believe, it's okay. That's God's job. Just don't harden your heart because someone doesn't come to Christ or someone is not healed. Don't take up their offense because something didn't happen in their life. Because you start taking up someone else's offense, you're going to be bitter, hateful. Then it's like a little group. It's a cancer group, a little bit here, a little bit there. And all of a sudden you got this little club lashing out to whatever the one person decided they were going to take offense with. Acts 3, verse 16, on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you've seen and known. And the faith which comes through him was given him this perfect health and presence of you all. It's Christ Jesus is doing the healing. Supernatural healing. Look around you. There's things in people's lives. There's absolutely no way. medicine or anything like that could heal that person. Sure, medicine do. But there's things that only God himself can do. A broken heart. Is there medicine for a broken heart? Jesus Christ will mend that broken heart. The world is crippled and we need help. As a church and as Christians, we must help. We cannot help the world with our own strength alone. We need God's power working in and through us. The power comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces supernatural power to change the hearts and lives of people. We must have and use this power. God's given you power of the Holy Spirit. Use it today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life. The enemy is going to be telling you that you're not worthy enough to do God's work. In fact, is I am not worthy, but Christ in me is worthy. It's Christ Jesus doing the work, not me. Greater he that is in me than that of the world. So don't listen to the enemy telling you lies. Don't listen to yourself telling yourself, oh, I'm not good enough, or I'm this or I'm that. Don't listen to that. Like Pastor Jeff preached a couple weeks ago, the heart is deceitful. World says, follow your heart. It was a song by Triumph, great Canadian band, follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. Follow Christ Jesus because he's changed your heart. If he's changed your heart, then you follow your heart. So Isaiah prophesied this in Isaiah 53, 4 to 6. It says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through our transgressions, for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging we are healed. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of all of us all to fall on him. There's nothing that he doesn't know about you. You can't keep secrets. And there's no sickness or disease, pain or suffering on earth that he hasn't bore himself. Because he is God, Jesus Christ. Bore our sins. He bore our suffering. He bore our pain. Romans 8, 35 to 39. I'm going to close with this. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things we're overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. This is God's word. We are so blessed as believers here. All over the world, Christians are being slaughtered, martyred, quartered, embarrassed. Like, we got it good. Someone doesn't say hi to you in the morning, it's okay. They're probably going through a hard time. Give them a hug. Say, it's okay. Let's not play church. I know what it's like to be on the other side. I see some of the people coming to the food bank here this week. You know, that was me. You know, that was my family growing up. It's like, God, you're so good. It's the Holy Spirit. Him and Him alone in your life. Don't play church. It's funny. I was thinking about this last night. Lord, maybe this will be my first and last sermon in the church. God loves you. Jesus loves you. I was sitting in the nursery there putting up a light, and I sat down to have a drink of water, and I moved some furniture away. And, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. So we've come here this morning to hear God's word, God's spoken. If there be anyone here that doesn't know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, God's knocking on your door. He's been knocking for a while. Now it's time to open and answer the door. If you've been struggling with depression, sickness, disease, anything at all, today is today. Don't put it off. God is here. We will pray with you. So I'm going to have a couple of the prayer team in each corner there. We're not going to single anyone out. If you want to stay behind and have prayer, then so be it. But you are free to hang out, to chat, whatever. Or you're able to, if you're not able to stick around, you can go too. But don't leave here unless you've done something. And say, God, here I am. Change me.